Sister Smith in Florida. Sister Smith in Florida. I had a little difficulty there, but got it solved, and here I am. That just makes the program better. Now today, we have a broadcast that's going to get your attention. Have you left your first love? Have you left your first love? I couldn't ask you a more important question, because I believe it's the mega problem of the church world. I believe of all the problems in the church world, this is right at the top list, is the multitudes, because of the world, because of many things that they get involved in their life, they've left their first love. Did you know if you have left your first love, you are not ready for the rapture? Did you know that if you've left your first love, you are not ready for the rapture? You will not go. If you left your first love, I'm going to read it to you in the Bible, and then we're going to go right to the heart of it. Thank God. I think I'm on Facebook. I think I'm on Internet. I know I'm on the radio, and so I'm grateful for all of it. God's just good to us. One way or the other, we'll make it. But I had something went wrong. I don't think I did it, but if I did, I did it. And so it's all solved, I think. God bless you. Let's go to the Bible. The book of Revelation, Chapter 2. Now, this is the first of the seven letters to the seven churches that Jesus gave, to John the Revelator, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars," listen now, "who holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." That means he's in the midst of his church. He's right here in the midst of us until today. "I know thy works. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and have them you've tried, them which say they are apostles and are not, you have found them liars." I mean, this is a dedicated church. This is even a theologically pure church, better than most churches today, probably. "And hath borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Nevertheless," Jesus said, "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent." Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. What has happened to them? They left their first love. They got this wonderful experience with Jesus. They fell in love with him. They loved him. They loved the word. They loved the church. They loved witnessing. They loved lost souls. I mean, they were just on fire because they had experienced what is called in the Bible first love. There's nothing more beautiful in a church than when somebody gets this first love. You have an old sinner that comes to that altar, repents of their sins, and falls in love with Jesus, and their love is their first love. It is overwhelming. It is one beautiful thing. I've loved it for my 62 years as a pastor. I love that first love Christian, that first love believer. They always set fire to the church. They always are such an example and such a light that everybody begins to praise and magnify what has happened in that person's life. But he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works." I even tell a newborn person who's been backslidden away from God, they need to be rebaptized. They need everything that they did when they were saved the original time. They ought to do it again because they left their first love and now they've repented. Repent therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works. And I will come to upon, it said, if you don't do that, I will come upon thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of thy place. Now, when a church backslides, or when an individual backslides, and they leave that first encounter with the love of God, he says to them, "You've got to come back. You've got to repent. You've got to do your first works over. You got to repent and do your first works over, lest," he says, "I come upon thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." He said, repent there two times. Remember one time and repent twice. That's pretty plain. "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent." Then he ends by saying, "If you don't repent, I will remove thy candlestick out of thy place." Now think with me. Please don't get in a hurry. Please sit there and listen to me and think with me of the multitude that you know who used to be on fire Christians, and now they're just lukewarm church members. They just occupy a pew. They put on a little front to kind of cover their backslid condition, but you don't really see the same thing you saw when they were full of that first love. Now, I want that by the Holy Spirit to grip my audience today, anywhere in the world, you're here in Facebook, internet, radio. I want it to grip you, and I want you to get a hold of what Brother Chambers is saying to you. If God ever laid a broadcast on my heart, he laid this one on my heart, and I felt it to the core of my being as I was was trying to study and prepare and bring you a warning. I'm telling you, the great revival is going to be here shortly. No doubt about it. I'm going to be part of it. Many others of you, maybe who are working hard at it right now, praying, seeking God, you're going to be part of it. There's nothing I'd rather be than part of a last day sovereign move of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. There's nothing in the world that's more important to me than that last day sovereign move. And I'm staying on my face for it, like others are staying on their face for it. And it's going to come, and I think it's very, very shortly. I think it's even at the door. I expect it any day to start. How it's going to start, I don't really know. I don't need to know. I just will know when it comes. I guarantee you that. And a lot of other people will know when it starts. But what I am concerned about is people who have lost their first love. And when that rapture takes place, they think they're going, but they aren't going. Now, you say, Brother Chambers, you're just too hard. No, I believe the Bible. I do not err from the Bible. I have been faithful to it 62, 67 years, really, since I was saved. And I'm going to be faithful to it to the end. I'm not going to tolerate anything else coming out of me and around me but the actual facts of this Bible. If you don't repent and come back to your first love, you're going to miss the rapture. He's not going to rapture a bunch of lukewarm people who become pew warmers instead of firebrand saints of God. He just isn't going to do that. And you got to get that in your head. He's coming for his people who are obedient to him. A pure church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Those are Paul, the apostle's words. Without spot, a wrinkle, a blemish, or any such thing. You say, that's too hard. Well, you just wait till the rapture, and you're going to find out it's not too hard. The saddest day in human history will be the day after the rapture. The multitudes that think they're going, and they are not ready to go. If you don't have on the wedding garment, he will not allow you inside the great bridal suite. I promise you what a day that's going to be. Now, I got a lot of things here on my mind today, and I want to invite you to call that telephone, and I will answer any question that comes in. I'm going to fix the phone where I can hear it. The moment it rings, I will know. You can call our number, and I will answer, and I'm going to do that from now on. That's better than me bringing in these ladies, and a lot of times they don't have many calls, and they've spent all their hours, and they didn't get to do anything. Now, there's the number to call, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. If you don't have a cell phone, you're on a landline, you can still call the 800 number anywhere in America and Canada, 1-800-334-7884. That's 833-TRUTH. 833-TRUTH. If I didn't say it right, 1-800-338-7884. Now, I want you to call because I want to talk to you, and I want to hear what you got to say, and I want us to get involved in some conversation about this. But if you don't call, I got plenty to say. You know, Brother Chambers, I've been doing this 45 years. You know, I started when I was 37. Can you believe that? Started this broadcast when I was 37 years old. And it's been a part of my life now, 45 years. I've loved every day of it. I love, 46 years. I love every day of it. It's a thrill to my heart. And if I can bring it, I heard in the last week, I heard from the Philippine Islands. I heard from Kenya. Where else have I heard from? I hear from countries all over the world, and I'm thrilled to it. I really am, because I want to get the message out there. You better get ready for the coming of the Lord. And beyond that, your first love. There is no joy on the face of this earth like the joy that a brand new Christian has when they fresh get born again. When they fresh meet Jesus and all of his love and their sins are forgiven, the peace of God comes hovering over their whole being and everything. You get up from the altar when you get saved and the world looks different and people look different. And people you've hated, suddenly you don't hate them anymore. That vanishes like thin air. I'm telling you, you don't want to leave that first love. Have you left your first love? Now, don't talk about losing it. You can't lose it. You have to leave it. You can't lose it. You have to leave it. Are you hearing me? Now, I went through my thinking cap and tried to come up with some of the signs of a person who has left their first love. And some of the signs are almost imperceptible. Most people around you in the church will not know you've left your first love. Let me read you some of the things that came to my mind. They still, are involved in all the right things around the church, around the pastor, around their family. They're involved with all the right things. They still act loving to everybody. They aren't angry. They aren't mad. This is the early signs. This is the imperceptible signs. May be still faithful in all their church attendance, and they seem to love the church, but way down in their heart, they perceive and they realize that the fire is not there. They don't have the excitement they used to have. They're putting on a good front. They look pretty good. You know, imperceptibly, you think they're really on fire, but way down deep, something is beginning to miss. That's the beginning. That's the imperceptible part. And then there's some mild signs of a person leaving their first love. Let's talk about them. They quit really worshiping. They sit in the sanctuary. They may raise their hand, but the lips are not moving, and the heart is not responding, and their worship is pretty much a front. That's about all it is a front. They tithe probably regularly, maybe occasionally. Now they can miss and not feel bad about it. They may miss church a little more often than they used to ever miss church. It was unheard of in the early days of their faith. They wouldn't dare miss church, but now just a little bit. Not much, not perceptible, just kindly, you know, around the edges. They still love to do some of the things around the church. They'll work on a project. They'll do some of these things, but it's all become kind of mild. It's all beginning to vanish. And then suddenly it gets serious. Suddenly they've really lost their first love. They move into open sin. They start doing things that they used to would not do. They start being bitter and pick at things and fuss about things and not the genuine person they used to be. And suddenly they begin to leave the church or they begin to church hunt. You know, they start roaming from church to church looking for somebody that don't make them so uncomfortable. You see, when you lose your first love, you start feeling uncomfortable at that serious level. I mean, the preacher preaches it and you don't like it. You get tired of his belly aching, you would call it. You get tired of his mind and somebody else's business, as you would call it. When it really gets serious, when a person really gets serious, most people don't get that far. They're just in the mild stage, in the imperceptible stage. But there's a multitude of them. There is an innumerable. You go into any church you want to go in, and I promise you, you watch the congregation when you're preaching, and you got a handful that will move, a handful that show that they're enjoying it, a handful that act excited, but not a lot, not a big crowd. It's all measured down. And most preachers at this stage, when the whole congregation becomes men and women who've left their first love, the preacher compromises. He starts preaching comfortable things. He becomes a psychologist instead of a man of God. He becomes a psychologist instead of a man of God. He preaches psychological things, social things, things that deal with the social perceptions of men. And everything changes. And that's the place almost the whole church world is today. Are you hearing me? Are you listening to Brother Chambers? You're saying, oh, Brother Chambers, you're always finding something wrong. What do you think God puts a watchman on a wall for? A watchman on the wall doesn't look for the beautiful things. Those things are normal. He praises God for them. He looks for things that are dangerous. He looks for things that look challenging. He looks for things that might mean somebody's life, might mean somebody's death. I mean, that's what a watchman does. That's what I do. I don't want to do that. I'd rather just preach happy things all the time. I'm going to preach tomorrow about when Holy Ghost fire is burning. That's going to be my sermon tomorrow. When Holy Ghost fire is burning. Come hear that one. That will be positive to the core. I promise you. Only people that will see that negative are those whose fire's not burning. I guess they would see anything that you even tell them wonderful about. If they don't have it, it probably will bother them. Oh, you see, have you left your first love? Has any of this touched you? Let me ask you Pentecostals, how long has it been since you prayed in the Holy Spirit? How long has it been since you got on your knees and the Spirit of God moved on you like a fire and you prayed maybe an hour, 2 hours? You cried out to God, tears rolled down your cheeks and your heart was on fire. How long has it been? Did you know most Pentecostals have left their first love? I'm a Pentecostal. Been one 67 and a half years. I know the Pentecostal church world like I know the back of my hand. I've been right in the middle of it. I've been in a lot of places in it. I've seen a lot of people. Now, I've known some of the best preachers there were. I'm telling you, I've known some of the best, heard them preach, and just sat with tears rolling down my cheeks. I used to go to camp meeting longing for the preacher that would preach me in the altar and preach me in that altar weeping and sobbing and crying out for a deeper experience with God. And I would rejoice. I remember one camp meeting, George Voice was the one, Dr. George Voice, was the one that preached that great sermon that got me in the altar. And I went to George when it was all over, and I said, "Brother George, your sermon has been the magnificent sermon of this whole camp meeting. You preached me in the altar." I'm telling you, folks, we're talking about the loss of first love. Now, I'm slowing up because I'm trying to get your attention. Is anybody listening to me out there? Is any of you old-time Pentecostals beginning to feel uneasy at me? Some of you may have cut the radio off. Don't you cut that radio off. Don't you do that, my Pentecostal brothers and sisters. I'm coming after you to get you back in the altar and back full of the Holy Spirit and back with the burning fires of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said very plainly, when the Holy Ghost comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm talking about fire, enthusiasm, excitement, joy, the flame of God's grace and love in you. Have you left your first love? Listen, all over my audience, have you left your first love? If you have, will you do something about it? Now, I want some calls of people who will admit you've left your first love and you're going to start today and get back to where you used to be. Could I have about 100 calls like that? There'd probably be 10,000 that could call and say, "I've left my first love, but I'm not going to tolerate it any longer. I'm going back where I used to be. I'm going back what I used to feel. I'm going back with that fire burning again. I want God's mighty love in my heart." Now, I'm going back to that scripture because I want you to know this isn't Brother Chambers. I'm not bringing you something that is on my heart just to give you out of my own thinking. I'm bringing you what this book says. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." He didn't say lost. He said left. Thou hast left thy first love. Now, are you hearing me? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. How many of you can remember where you used to be? How many can remember when the fire burned? How many can remember when you loved church more than you loved anything the world had? How many remember that loving your church and loving the things of God? How many remember when the pastor would preach, you could hardly sit still? You'd be on your feet every once in a while when he hit one of those high notes and really got a hold of your attention, and you'd stand up. Do you remember when churches all had an amen corner? Do you remember that? When the people with the fire of the Holy Spirit sat in the amen corner and they encouraged the pastor with their amens. Pentecostals have been big to get up and stand over beside the church when the preacher gets on fire, and because they love in the word. They love in what they hear. They love in what they feel. How many remember when the church choir was singing and people would start standing and then they'd be in the aisles and sometimes somebody would run across the front of the church. And I heard one pastor pastor say in this city now, not long ago, ain't nobody going to be running in this church. He ain't going to allow it. Well, I can understand. You probably don't have to worry about it anyway. But I'm here to tell you, you hear me? I'm here to tell you, when the fire burns, there'll be some movement in your congregation. And loving the Bible. Let me say this. I really believe this. I believe the love of preaching is one of the greatest marks of an on-fire church. And I believe the loss of the love of preaching, when the preaching no longer sets you on fire, when the preacher no longer is full of an anointing and you aren't finding anything in his preaching. Now, it can be you. The preacher may be on fire and you just don't like it. You just become gripey and you've lost your first love. I don't care how good the preacher preaches. When you lose your first love, you're really not going to enjoy it that much. Maybe none. Maybe you despise it or whatever. But I'm talking to you. Have you left your first love? And are you willing to get up and go back? Get up and go back. Nevertheless, I tell you, except you return. I'm reading you the Bible now. I'm not telling you what Brother Chambers thinks. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And repent. You got to ask God to forgive you. You have to repent over losing your first love. You can't just go back to it now. You got to repent. The way back begins with repentance. The way back is to tell Jesus and God the Father, you want to repent for giving up your first love and turning around. That probably, once you do that, will start the whole beautiful process. And before you know it, you'll be on fire in the middle of your church. Do thy first works. Do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of thy place, except thou repent. Would you believe? I'm a shepherd. I'm a pastor. Been 162 years. I've lived in the wisdom and the work of the Holy Spirit all these years. I've never gone back on him. I don't think I've ever lost my first love. It may have waned a little bit. I may have got a little chilled. I've been through some tough battles, you know, and you don't always go through them all easily. But by the grace of God, I've kept that first love. And I can almost see in the face of people, and always feel it when you're around them and they're trying to worship, the multitudes that have left their first love. I mean, the multitudes that have left their first love. My heart is weeping for them, because I want them to come back. I don't want them to die in that condition. And I don't want the rapture to take place when they're in that condition, because it'll be a sorrowful moment. It'll be a sad, horrible, horrible moment. I'm telling you right now, it'll be a horrible moment. Now, let's make sure we understand. You have got to realize it. Could I say this? Most people who have left their first love don't even think about it unless somebody gets their attention. Sometimes it has to be a preacher makes you mad. Sometimes it has to be a preacher that comes after your hide and just says it plain as the nose on your face. Sir, I can see the difference in your life. I could sit here and name the hundreds that I know who have left their first love. I mean, talk about people who used to could pray down the fire of the Holy Ghost. Used to could pray for the sick and they'd get healed. I have preachers that say to me all the time, we don't see anybody get healed anymore. We don't see anybody getting a miracle from God anymore. Well, it's not hard to tell you what's wrong. Your church has left the first love. That's all you can say. Your church has left the first love. If nobody's getting healed and nobody's getting saved and nothing good's happening, there's something wrong in the church. And the whole church world is pretty much right where I'm talking about. And I'm crying out to you that let's go back to our first love. Now, I'm talking to you out of a preacher's heart. I'm not talking to you because I have any criticisms to offer. I'm talking to you because I care and because I want the church to have this sovereign move. We're going to have it. We're going to have it. Those who want it are going to have it. Those who pay the price. Now, one thing I discovered in my preaching last Sunday night and preached about it, when he says to the church, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. But he doesn't just say pray. He says, seek my face. seek my face. There's something different in praying and seeking your face. When you pray, see his face. When you pray, you're just crying out for needs. You're just bringing before God the many things that burden your heart. But when you seek his face, you are coming up right straight to him, and you're praying for him to become conscious of you, and for him to begin to talk to you, and for him to begin to move by his Holy Spirit upon you and your mind and your heart. When you begin to seek the face of God, you're at the really battleground for a fresh sovereign move of God's Holy Spirit. The battleground. And that is seek his face. Seek him. Let him become real in your life. Brothers all over the world, you missionaries in foreign countries, native or foreign, it doesn't matter. Find you a place to pray every day of the week. Start going to your church at 1 in the morning. I'm sorry, at 6 in the morning. I don't go at 1 either. I went 4 this morning, a little after. But normally it's 6. Go every morning and seek his face. Remember, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. And his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long his presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. So I think I've learned the secret. Learned from many of a tough way. You must seek God in the morning if you want him through the day. Pastors, you're not going to do much for God until you become a prayer warrior, until you begin to weep, until tears begin to stain your cheeks, until you begin to spend some maximum time. Preachers rather go to the golf course, go to an exercise saloon, and you know, complain about how bad their body feels. Well, I get out there and work like a young man. When I need, I mowed 4 hours, I think it was Thursday. 4 hours. And it was wonderful. I enjoyed every minute of it. You know, I'd rather do that for the glory of the Lord than pay somebody in a saloon where half the people are almost naked. Not me. I'm not interested in that life. I'm interested in getting God's move in his church and having a sovereign outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, I got so much to read here. Let's go, if we might, to look at some other scriptures. And this is powerful. Go to 2 Thessalonians with me. Go to 2 Thessalonians with me. You talk about something that moves my heart. I'm here to tell you, it moves my heart when I go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and begin to read some of these great things. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the power of Satan, with all signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivable unrighteousness, deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now listen, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Do you know what saves you? Do you know what keeps you straight? Do you know what keeps you on fire? You know what keeps you in the love of God? Very simple. The love of the truth. I said it earlier. The love of the truth. If you don't love the Bible, if you don't love preaching, if you don't love reading and studying and living in this book, you're not going to have the fire you need to keep on the straight line. You really aren't. And so I bring you the joy of the Lord. Now, let me look at this phone. I want some calls. I want you to question me. I want you to even disagree with me if you feel it. And let's talk about it. Let's see if we can help wake this church. Help awake this church. I want to awake the church more than I want to live. I do. I want to awake the church more than I want to live. And God's going to help me. I'm going to give it all I got. The last days of my ministry, I pray, are going to be my best. And I want to touch more people than I've ever touched. And I'm right here trying to wake you up and get the multitudes that have left their first love back to their first love. Now, I want you to hear this again. And with all deceivableness, this is how the devil is doing to this generation. This is how that false Christ is completely, completely rocking the church with his darkness, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because, why? They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Some of you don't like what I'm saying. You don't love it at all. You're just rebelling against it. Well, you're part of this crowd he's talking about who will be lost because you love not the truth. You want it sugar-coated. You want it to sound a little more feasible to you. Well, I'm waiting for the phone to ring. I want to answer your question. I want to hear you ask me. Maybe you would just like to call me and say, I've lost my first love. And I want to tell you, Brother Chambers, you have awakened me today. And I am going to get back on my face and get back where I used to be. I'm going to be a fireball in my church again, a fireball in my church. I'm going to be in the choir singing, and they're going to want to put me out because I shout in the choir. I'm telling you, get back to that fiery day when the church was on fire. You say, I'm a Baptist. I'm not a Pentecostal. Well, you need to read about some of the great days of the Baptists. Some of the greatest preachers I ever heard when I first got saved was men like Mays Jackson and some of those other men. They were full of fire. They were so anointed. It was thrilling to hear them preach. I'm not kidding you. They had fire in their hearts and fire in their sermons. Well, we got to get back to that because it is the love of the truth that saves you. You cannot be saved if you don't learn to love the truth. I preached a sermon some years ago. First time I preached it was at the Bethel, the Emmanuel Holiness Camp meeting down at Bladenburg, North Carolina. And the title of the sermon, The Love of the Truth That Saves. The love of the truth that saves. And a lot of people still remember that sermon. I remember it. The love of the truth that saves. You're not saved by just going to church. You're not saved just by being baptized. You're saved because you love the truth. I mean, that's what will bring you to God. You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please? Well, they're not going to answer me, apparently. I know you're there. You own the radio. Can I help you? Well, they hung up. I guess call back if you would. I think I had you on, but I'm not really sure. Maybe they on the voicemail. Well, call back 1-800-338-7884. I want to help you get on fire. I want to help you leave that place where you have left your first love. Have you left your first love? Those who have left their first love, those who unsettled themselves. Did you know when you got saved, God planted you? God planted you. And so many, such a multitude of people have uprooted themselves, and they're not where they were planted. Did you know something? The Holy Spirit showed my son, Terry. He was part of the pastorate here years ago, and he was a good preacher. And one week, God got a hold of him and gave him a message from the Lord. And the message from the Lord said, I have planted you where I have planted you, where my will is for you. When I return, if you're not where I planted you, I'm not going to go looking for you. You will be left. And I thought, wow. I told him that other day, how he had preached that. And I'm telling all of you, that's the word of God. When God plants you, don't you start uprooting yourself because you got mad at this and you got bugged at that and you didn't like that. That's the sign of your losing or leaving your first love. That's the problem with all of that. So what you need to do is repent and get back to where God planted you. If you're not where God planted you, he's not going to come looking for you when that rapture takes place. I hope you hear that. That's awesome stuff. That's an awesome revelation from God. And I'm glad God gave it to my son Terry because it is wonderful. When God plants you, he expects you to stay there. Everywhere I pastored because I was appointed there by a man of God who was the appointed state overseer of North Carolina. I've pastored four different churches, and every time I moved only when they told me to move, only when the Lord spoke to the overseer. And back in those days, they prayed and fasted, and they got appointments from God. And I've never been anywhere. I'm not satisfied. I was in the center of God's will. And I wouldn't leave here right now and retire somewhere in a rocking chair for nothing on the face of this earth because I've got to be where he put me when that rapture takes place. And I want you to be where he put you when that rapture takes place. So do something about your life today. I mean, this is the time to change. Don't wait till day after tomorrow. It may be too late. You get yourself back where God put you. Get yourself back where you belong. I wish I could get that call. Apparently, they're leaving it. Are you there? Well, I think they must have left a message. That's what I was getting. Okay, I'll get that later. Call right now, 704-391-0588. I got 17 minutes. I'd like to talk to some of you who've left your first love. What do you think? What made you leave your first love? Can you stop right now and say, yes, I remember when I left my first love. I remember when I started drifting. I remember when I got careless with my Bible study. I remember when I got careless with my church attendance. I remember when I started borrowing some of my tithes and never paying them back. I remember all these kind of things in my life. And today, right now, I repent and I'm going back. You can say it while you're listening to me and then act upon it. And I promise you, God will take care of you and God will bring you back. So maybe you're in Australia. Maybe you're in New Zealand. Maybe you're in Upper Russia. Maybe you're down in South America, South Africa. It doesn't really matter to me. I love the black face, the brown face, the yellow face, the white face. You know, it don't matter with me. Everybody is equal. God is not a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons, I declare to you. And I don't believe there's a certain class lost and can't be saved either. I don't believe in limited atonement. I believe every man, woman out there, he wants to save you. He wants to save you. I want to tell you something today. This is really wonderful. One thing that God don't remember. Did you know there's something God don't remember? Did you know that God has a limited memory? Only limited by one thing. And that is, he does not remember the sins you committed that the blood of Jesus has washed away. Any sin, I don't care how serious, how dark, how terrible, if the blood of Jesus has washed that sin away, even the Father does not remember that sin. It's in the sea of God's forgetfulness and never to be remembered against you again. I've been saying this all over the city. Everywhere I go, I'm waking, I say to somebody, hey, I'm going to tell you something. I want to tell you something God don't know. What in the world don't God know? He don't know your sins that the blood has washed away. Isn't that beautiful? That is, everybody out there, I want you to start using it. I'd like that to be my telltale sign in Charlotte, North Carolina for the next months as this revival breaks out, that everybody listening to me will start telling people there's something God don't know. Where do you get this from? I heard Brother Chambers on the radio, WHVN. I heard him on Facebook. I heard him on the internet. I heard him on WSTS down in Laurinburg area, Lumberton area. I heard it wherever. Just tell people, hey, listen to me. There's something God don't know. When he washes your sins away, he doesn't know those sins. Now, that's thrilling stuff. So help me tell it, will you? Now, anybody out there, you've left your first love and you're ready to go back. Now, the phone's open. Grab the phone, 704-391-0588. I'd like to take one call after another for the next few minutes, okay? Will you call quickly? Call quickly, and I will answer. If I don't answer in about four rings, hang up and call back, because if you keep on, you'll get the voicemail, and I want you to call back if I'm on the phone, and you wait a minute and call. Grab the phone, 704-391-0588. How many out there are willing to admit that you've left your first love? Let's have some honest hearts today. Let's have some honest people today. Maybe you're one of those who've never left yours. Why don't you call and tell us about it? Testify. I just gave my testimony. I've never left my first love. I've loved Jesus. I was reading this morning in the book of Isaiah where the Bible talks about Jesus. You see, it wasn't the Romans that crucified the soul of Jesus. They only crucified the body of Jesus. The Bible says that God the Father gave Jesus' soul as an offering for sin. That was God who put to death the soul of Jesus. The Romans put to death the body. But the real death of Jesus was the soul death. And the body wouldn't die until the soul died. Hallelujah. And it says in Isaiah 53 that it pleased God. I love that verse. I'm going to read it to you. It is one of the greatest verses in this holy book to me. It really is. And when I read things like this, I get all happy. Maybe you don't get happy over things like this, but boy, this preacher does. Listen to this. But it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise him. He, God, hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. God the Father made the soul of his Son, Jesus, an offering for sin. And I read that this morning. I've read it many times. I remember preaching it in Africa one time. And the whole congregation just went excited when they learned it was not the Romans or the Jews that put the ultimate death of Jesus to task. It was the Father who crucified his Son. They were instruments of his death in the physical, but only God was instrument of his death in the soulical. Isn't that beautiful? Because he made his soul an offering for sin. Now, why would you ever leave that kind of love? Why would you ever leave it? Why would anybody leave the love they got when Jesus came into their life? I do not understand it. I don't understand how in the world, the church world as a whole, has backslid and left their first love. I don't understand it. I don't understand how preachers get in the pulpit and they don't preach these deep, wonderful truths anymore. I don't understand that. It don't make sense to me. We are on the verge of the Lord's coming. At any moment now, he could split those skies with the glorious sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ would rise first, and then we which are alive and remain would be caught up right with them, right behind them, to meet the Lord in the air. He is coming, friend. He is coming. Now, do you have your first love? Are you on fire? You received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't stay full of the Holy Ghost just because you received a wonderful baptism 10 years ago, 20 years ago. The Holy Ghost is a person. He abides in you continuously, or he doesn't abide at all. He doesn't just come and give you a blessing and then he takes his flight away and leave you to do your own thing. Oh, no. He comes to possess you. He comes to walk, to live in you. He comes to teach you, to guide you, to make you a witness, to make you a blessing. Did you know that the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, that's nine. Nine fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Did you know those nine fruit are manifest in you by the Holy Spirit? It is God who makes those nine fruit manifest in you. You don't do it. It would be self-righteousness. He does it by his grace and by his Holy Spirit, and it becomes holiness and righteousness unto the Lord. If you don't have those nine fruit, you need to know that you have left your first love, basically, because those nine fruit will follow you wherever you go when you live a life in surrender to God. Well, I'm spent so much time just laying my heart out here in front of you. I want to take you to 2 Peter. I want to give you a picture of this backslid condition. This is the most powerful picture in the Bible of a backslider. 2 Peter, you need to go and you need to hear me as I share a little bit of it with you. This is a person who experienced that first love. They were so moved of God. They were so moved of God. They loved him. They loved him. You can still call 704-391-0588. But here they have, they're like whales without water. Clouds that are carried about with a tempest. Did you know that? Some of you are just whales without water. That's all you are. Some of you are nothing but clouds carried about with a tempest. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Did you know that? Did you know that? I promise you now, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment, a commandment delivered unto them. If you've left your first love, you've turned away from those wonders of your experience with Christ, the wonder of his grace, the beauty of his kindness and gentleness, the beauty of all his love, all the beauty that he meant for you and offered to you. My dear friend, listen to me. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He's reaching for you. He wants to make your life a blessing. He wants to set you on. If you get back to the love of God, like I'm talking about, and you understand, and then you look at your life, when you were and when you wasn't, when you were on fire, when you were not on fire, when you left your first love, but now you've come back to it. I want to tell you something. When you come back that second time, it's not easy. It sometimes is the hardest decision you've ever made. It sometimes takes a little while. It may sometimes take a few days. It may be a few weeks that you're waiting and praying and pleading and crying out and repenting. And suddenly it comes. And God's grace sweeps down over you. And you feel that wonderful love that you first felt when you came to Christ many, many, many years ago. Some as little children were wonderfully saved. And you've left your first love long ago. And you live in the church, but you have no fire in your bosom. I'm calling you back. I'm calling you back. I'm disturbing you. If you'll let me, I'm disturbing you and getting you hungry to get back to where the fire burned, where the life of God was real. Now, to show you how bad it can be when you lose your first love. Because if you lose your first love, you will probably eventually go to the bottom round. You will probably go right down to the heart of a backslid condition. The heart of a backslid condition. Then he says, but it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned again to his vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I'm telling you, nothing worse than a backslider. I can name some people that I've known. I won't do that, of course. You know better. I don't mean to name them. I don't even mean to suggest I would. I just want to tell you, I know people who used to really have the joy of the Lord. Ooh, they felt His presence so often. They lived in an excitement that was thrilling, that was wonderful. They went to church and could hardly keep a seat. The preacher would have to sometimes preach over top of their amens and their shouts of hallelujah because they were so full of love. They were so full of joy. That's how the church used to be. It don't matter whether it's Baptist or Presbyterian or what it was. It used to be on fire. The Presbyterians were burning with the zeal of God many, many years ago. The Baptist was outstanding. Oh, the Baptists were some of the best. Some of the best. I've heard Baptist people say, if anybody deserves to be part of the Latter Rain movement, it's us Baptist people. Well, you may, because of the good things that came out of you many years ago. But where are you today? Where is your fire today? Where are the multitude of preachers who preach the truth of God in spite of all the hatred of the evil and the wicked in the community and sometimes in the church? Boy, an elder who gets angry with a preacher because he gets on his toes is a dangerous dude. And don't run from him. Don't stand your ground. Look him in the face and say, sir, I'll be preaching this truth, and I'll come preach your funeral when your wife calls me. You know, that's what I'm going to tell him. That's what I tell him. You get angry with me, I'm sorry. I got to give you the truth because it's dangerous out there. It's dangerous out there. And the church world is more dangerous than the bar downtown. It really is because of the hypocrites and the people who don't have it any longer and what the preaching has turned to be. And now they paint the ceilings black and get strobe lights and get them some all kinds of noise makers, and they put on a show and call it church. No, it ain't church. Church is not a show. Church is a move of the Holy Spirit. Church is when the Word of God sounds in all its beauty. I still got time for a couple calls. You know, I love real church. I really do. I'm an old-fashioned man. Have you left your first love? Are you living where you belong? Or are you living in a make-believe world, a religious, make-believe? Where are you living? How much fire do you have in your bosom? Are you really on fire for God? Do you witness to lost souls anymore? How long since you got on your knees and wept for hours? I was thrilled last Saturday after the broadcast. I went over to the farmer's market to get some cheese. And got my cheese, and I'm leaving and coming back, and I turn on the Cyrus radio for the Southern Gospel station, and I'm listening to a man, and he says, I've got a testimony here I want you to hear. And so this man comes up and testifies. I don't know who it was. I didn't hear it long enough. I don't have a last name. You may have heard it. And he tells how he was backslid, and his daddy, his father, prayed 2 hours every day for his son. And said, I don't want to die until I pray 2 hours every day for the rest of my life till my son gets saved. And I shouted and hooped and hollered coming down the highway. because I'm praying 2 hours a day for my family and your family. I had a man that came to me in Cracker Barrel this morning and said, Reverend Chambers, are you Reverend Chambers? Yes, my son came to your school and he named the years ago. And I said to him, give me your son's name, please. I gave him my card to text me his son's name. I said, I'm going to start praying for him. He's in prison. The son who came to our school is in prison. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible? Didn't hear me. Didn't yield to the word of God. I said, sir, I'm praying regular now for every student that's ever been in the Paul Creek Christian Academy. And we used to have 200 and 300. It's a lot of kids. And we started the school in 1974. And the school has operated without a break. Ever since then, 1 year, we had to do it in homes because they took our building from us on Little Rock Road, the Church of God denomination. And then we came here and rented and built, and school still goes. And it's a wonderful school. I have the best teachers in Charlotte. I'm telling you, I've got some of the best teachers in Charlotte. They're outstanding. And we're going to keep praying until every one of these kids is saved. I'm praying for every child that's ever been in this school. I am praying for every child that's ever been in this school. I really am. Believe in God to save them. Believe in God to save them. Wouldn't that be something wonderful if God would save every child that's ever been in this school? That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I'm praying for that. I really am. I'm believing God to save every last one of them. I'm believing God to save every last one of them. And God is able, big time able. And I'm praying, I'm trusting him, I'm crying out. Now listen, I want you to call me, or I want you to come tomorrow. I'm preaching tomorrow. I tell you again, I'm preaching tomorrow. Let me tell you what I'm preaching. When the Holy Ghost fire is burning. When the Holy Ghost fire is burning. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost fire is burning, it is an exciting time in your life. And you can have that fire burning. You can have that fire burning. I'm going back here to a song that I want to play on my tape because I want to bless you as we go off the air. I love you. Jesus is coming. His coming is imminent, even at the door. If you could just know how quickly that coming is, it would be thrilling to your heart. If you could just know how shortly that coming is, any moment now, the King will come. Any moment now, the King will come. And what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. My phone won't even tell me the time. Oh, well, been a good day. I've had a great program. I've loved bringing you the truth. I've done it with all my heart. And I promise you, the King is coming. I promise you, the King is coming. God bless you. God bless you.
A strong tower. The righteous run into it.
Hallelujah. Hey, that's good. The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most high.
I like that, don't you?
Thank you. righteous throne.